You're listening to the Kingwood United Methodist Church Contemporary Sermon Series, led by Reverend John Wayne McMahon in Kingwood, Texas. Thank you for downloading. You want to go ahead and turn there. I will be reading from that in just a moment. As we get going, I'm going to introduce us to a new series. This series called Alignment. I'm going to explain a little bit, kind of set this series up for us over the next few weeks. I'm excited to be able to introduce and be a part of the beginning of this series, as it looks like I may not be with you for much of the rest of the series. We have our due date this week, and so we're expecting a little girl's arrival. By the way, her name's Riley Grace. You can add that to your prayers. We're expecting her arrival this week. As many of you know, expecting it doesn't mean anything, but it is this week. And so what's going to happen is when baby's born, I'm going to be out of the office for a couple of weeks. I love you all, but I'm going to step away. And then for 4 weeks of preaching, I'm not going to be in the pulpit here on Sundays, just to give time and space for my family and to love them. So just keep that in your prayers and be with you. The other reason why I say that is what my goal here is to make this messy for the preachers that are coming after me. I want to set the bar really high for this series about what this is looking like. So when Bert and Chris and Stacy come in and preach over this series, they're getting to play in that mess a little bit. And so that's what we're going to do today. I'm saying that with Chris in the room, all right? You hear that for accountability. That's right. So we're talking about alignment, and this series is important for us as we talk about alignment and how do we align together, but also how do we align with God. That's why today we're going to talk about fasting and prayer as we begin. So that's the context and how we were led to Isaiah chapter 58. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. I know it's a lot, but this text can preach itself. I want you to hear it, the whole thing. And so we're going to share it together. I hope you have it in front of you. Hear the word of the Lord. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fits. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. And you will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression and the pointing finger of malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride and triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for today. And Lord, I pray that you would add your blessing to the reading of your holy word. Where we are empty, would you fill us? Where we are weak, would you strengthen us? Where we are wrong, would you correct us? And would you send us out once more? God, I pray for myself that you would speak through me or in spite of me, but may it be your message that's delivered. We love you and trust you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, we, the pastoral team, landed on this series in really quite beautiful way. As we often do, we try to get away and retreat together and spend time in prayer, considering what God's doing in our community, in our midst, and what he's calling us to. And really, we felt out of prayer this series came together. We found, as we were thinking about it, that we're in a particular beautiful season at KUMC. That God's doing some amazing things, and I'm going to share some different stuff that jump out to me here in a moment. But we began to think about different times that KUMC has seen great seasons like this. Maybe it's been since the beginning, but even the last couple of years and things like that. And in praying, we realize one of the times that God's work in our community is the most fruitful are when these areas align together. When we are aligned together first, I think that's important. The staff, the pastoral staff, the lay staff, the congregation, when we are aligned together, God does incredible things here at KUMC. And when we are aligned in these three areas, these will be a focus for the series: worship, discipleship, and mission. Too often in our churches, Big C Church, we can isolate those three things like they operate on their own. And so we're going to talk about what they mean throughout this series, but we're also going to talk about how they belong together. That the person who is coming to worship is submitting in discipleship, is joining God in the work that he's doing on mission. And when KUMC brings those things together, we see God do powerful, powerful things. The other thing that we're doing as we start today, and my kind of job here, is to make sure that we don't assume that we're all aligned together and aligned with God. Because we could be aligned together and moving in a direction that's not with God, and we might make some cool man-made stuff, but we're not going to do resurrection stuff. We're not going to be there in the places where a kid learns to walk in Uganda if we're not listening to where God is calling us and sending us. That's the work that we have to do today as we begin and as we lean forward. And so I'm going to get us started with these two things. But I thought I would begin with a state of the union, so to speak. What's going on at KUMC that leads us to think that things are going well? Well, let me begin with worship. We've seen a steady growth in worship attendance across our campus for years now. When a lot of churches, and we've seen numbers across our conference and through consulting and other things, a lot of churches are seeing this decline, and our church, it continues, sometimes it's marginally, but our church continues to see an uptick in worship attendance. Each and every year we see this take place. Now we're averaging over 1,200 people in worship attendance each and every week. This is important because some churches have these huge membership roles, right? And then you're like, yeah, but how many are showing up to church? We want to look and see how many people are coming to church. And so we've seen this cool growth that is taking place throughout our community. Another thing that I see in where, oh, this is happening across all of our worship services too. I want to point that out. In the sanctuary, in Vine worship in here as well, in the student worship in the loft as we see that taking place, and Refugio continues to grow and reach people in amazing ways with Sarah Reyes ministry. Another example is the addition of Ryan, our contemporary worship leader, and Matt, the leader of all things traditional music. They have been incredible additions to the life of this church. I know that many of you don't know what all they do around here, but they have jumped in and grabbed a hold of the vision of KUMC and what God's doing and even added to it. And those hires took a long time. Both of them did. A long, painful time. Chris is saying amen because he was a part of the long time it took to get there. And the reason why they took a long time is because we took it very seriously about finding passionate followers of Jesus that would lead these ministries because we believed in what God was doing through worship. It took time to do that, but we were pressing into what God was doing. Let me talk about Vine worship in specific. In the last 5 years, we've seen an incredible growth in here. That we're less than 100, maybe 50 a week in the contemporary worship 5 years ago. And during the school year, and what we're already seeing is we'll see 400 or over 400 in the worship, putting up with a warm air conditioning kind of going out in the gym, coming together to worship together. There's been growth. We have a home team that's having to pull out chairs for the 11 o'clock so that we can all fit and be in here together. In this service, even over the last year, we've seen over 50 volunteers now participating in worship. The home team, we have a team every week so that they're not serving multiple times, that come together to hold the doors, to pass the baskets, to greet you as you walk in and out. The worship team, a couple years ago, it was hard for us to get a worship band together. And now we have enough that there's almost a team for every week of the month. And y'all, we want to be the best worship team there is, but our number one goal is to help you all participate in what God's doing here. And so that's why we want you to participate in worship. And it's beautiful the way that all of that is coming together. The tech team is quadrupled. There are people now that are learning how to work slides and do the soundboard and be a part of streaming. We're streaming now. In just a couple of years, we have moved into this area where we see hundreds of views online every week. That's amazing, because some of those people are folks that are not comfortable enough to come on campus yet. It's our way of introducing ourselves to people. God is doing amazing things through the ministry. We have a prayer team here. A couple years ago, if we taught on prayer, you could have heard a pin drop. And now we have folks that are coming forward to receive prayer and to pray with others. It's beautiful. I was hearing from a prayer leader this week. She said that oftentimes, yes, she prays for people in here, but what she's finding is folks are now calling her out outside of service, saying, hey, will you pray with me? I've got this thing going on, or running into her in the grocery store. That is creating a culture. I hope people will seek out prayer up here, but if you're praying for each other in the grocery store, we did something right. We're leaning into what God wants to do in this ministry. Worship is seeing this incredible movement across our campus. And any of the other leaders could talk about it and the ways that they've seen it in different pockets. What about mission? Mission has always been so important at this church. This church, when people hear about KUMC, they hear about their missions a lot of times and how mission-minded they are. Impact in places like Uganda are all over the place. Just an example, and I pull this one out because you may not know this. For example, Clint took some students this summer, and has before, to go to the Czech Republic to work with missionaries that we support in the Czech Republic, which is like 98% atheist. These are the kind of things that KUMC are doing. Society continues to be one of the greatest outreaches in this area. We are at work in Haiti. Do you know that this church is responsible for 2 water projects in Haiti? In Sous-Matla, Haiti, this church is a part of life-changing ministry. And not just, this is what I love about what KUMC does, not the kind of ministry where we run over and go, can we buy something nice for you and put it here and then run back home and they may or may not use it? What KUMC does is, how can we help you in what you're doing? How can we help you in what God's doing here? And this church does it in amazing ways all over the place. Let me just share a couple of two new ones where we're pressing into. The last couple of years, Oasis Ministries, that said there's a problem with orphan care and what's going on in the Northeast Houston area. We want to step into that gap. And now there are people that are turning the corner to adopt and to bring people into their home, are becoming child advocates. There's more signing up, are stepping into the gap at homes to help people, to say, you're loved, we care about you, we're here for you. This work is happening at KUMC. A new development we're about to press into is human trafficking. To say this can't happen in our backyard anymore and us not be a part of the reconciliation that needs to take place. God is sending KUMC people into these places. Mission is amazing what God is doing with us. Discipleship. Sunday school across the churches. I hear Sunday school continues to struggle in other places. At our church, some of you have been in the same Sunday school for years, and you continue to fill. What's amazing is we opened that building, 3 years ago? And as soon as we opened it, we were out of space. Because that's what's happening on Sunday. On Sunday morning, we have discipleship opportunities that are taking place all across the board. Let me give you a couple examples during the week. Women's Bible study and Young Moms Bible study just started back this week. And in each of those, there's over 70 women that are involved in that. That means their children are coming to childcare. That means that they're getting to know people. They're not all church folks, but they're getting to know KUMC, and discipleship is taking place right in front of us. As we said earlier, the Wednesday night table is booming. It's taking off. There is a young adult Bible study meeting in a home of one of our church members, and one of their members joined our church last week and shared about how they are being loved and taken care of. There are 12 new home groups that didn't exist a couple years ago. There's over 150 people that are in intimate fellowship together, learning about what it looks like to follow after Jesus. And when all of these things come together and we move together, that's where real change takes place. Here's what I mean. It is small group participants that are showing up to be on the worship prayer team. It is the person that has had their life changed in a mission trip that is now helping to lead a Sunday school or to teach children's ministry. It is when a church holds these things together as a part of their identity that I believe God is glad to pour his spirit into, is glad to pour into and to do things and to lead people in that direction. Worship of God and following Jesus in discipleship and finding God's work in the world and joining him in it is what we are called to do. And outside of that, nothing else is that important. But instead of patting ourselves on the back, what if we double down? What if we ask for more? What if we take all that and say, that's good, but God, I want more. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be there when a kid takes his first steps. I want to do something that if you don't show up, God, it's not going to work. What if we double down at KUMC there? Isaiah's text can be broken apart in these sections, but it's going to be important for us today. I think there's two major movements that are taking place in this text. First, God, through the prophet, comes down hard on fasting. He is very blunt to the Israelites, and that's where we're going to start today. The first five verses are about their hypocrisy. They are fasting for the wrong reasons. They fast for God's action to get what they want, and yet there's no fruit of fast. There's no fruit of their faith. There's no fruit taking place there. Look at these verses in 3 and 4. Why have we fasted, they ask. Why have they fasted, they say, and you have not seen it. Don't speak to God like this. I don't recommend it, all right? Why have we fasted and you have not seen us? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, God's response, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and you exploit all of your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Come on. He said, what you're doing is just religion, but you're not doing it for the right reasons. You're not pressing into me. They were treating God like a genie in the bottle, trying really hard to do what they thought they were supposed to do so that they could get what they wanted from God. Well, what does that have to do with us, and what does it have to do with fasting? You might be thinking, I don't fast, so why am I hearing this text? Well, let me ask you this. How often do you pray just because you want to spend time with God? Or how often do we pray, myself included, only when I need him? Only when I'm asking him for something? Or how often do we go to church because we feel like it? Because we just feel like we're supposed to be there because it's something we're supposed to do, and then we go be a jerk to our waiter at the restaurant. We do the religion thing, but then we forget what we're supposed to live out when we go somewhere else. I waited tables for a long time. Do you know what shift everybody, every one of us wanted to get rid of? Sunday morning. As a Christian, I was trying to get rid of my Sunday morning shift. Why? Because Christians would, they decided to go to church. It was good. They had to get their kids all together and presentable, right? And so hours of stress builds up, and then you make another decision, decide to go out to eat, and you sit in somebody's section, and you're worn out and tired, and you just don't even pay attention to the waiter at best, or at worst, you're kind of a jerk and leave a 5% tip. Right? That's the conversation that took place at shift meetings in the restaurant. And they would ask me, you're a Christian, why are they like that? Why do they come from church and go, we like that? So here's, this one's free. When you go out to eat, tip your waiter well, okay? They're trying to pay for college, and they know that you came from church because you look nice today, right? They do. That one's free. But how are we living out our life? Or maybe you come to church because you know you're supposed to, and then you go home and be a jerk to your spouse or your kids. Where is the fruit of your religion? Where is the fruit of your faith? God is saying, you can't just check off a box and your voice be heard on high. That's not what this is about. God is saying, stop with all the religion stuff. I am not a transactional God. The first time Jesus talks about fasting in the New Testament, he talks about motive. He says, why are you doing this? Are you doing it so others can see you and can see the way you are? The second movement in this text is where we go from here. It's about aligning with God. God says in this text, I am a chain breaker. I am setting people free. I am a God for the hungry. When you fast, it should be revealing what I am doing in the world. It should be bringing you closer to this work. You should be a part of what I'm doing through your fasting. That is the motive. The call to fasting and prayer for us today and during this series is towards this work of pressing into God and aligning ourselves with Him. That's what we're talking about today. You give your family a day a week, I hope. You give yourself a day, maybe. You probably give football a day. Do you give God a day? Do you? Do you carve out time and say, God, this is your day. I'm doing some things in it, and it may be with family, and it may be doing this, but this is your day, God. That's what this fasting and prayer is all about. One commentator writes this about fasting. Spiritual fasting entails setting aside activities as well as reducing the intake of food and replacing these activities with the exercise of prayer and preoccupation with spiritual concerns. The reason why we do this is because the New Testament word, the Greek word here translated to fasting, literally means ones who have not eaten or ones who are empty. When we fast, we are emptying ourselves of us, so that God might fill us with Him. That's what we're calling you to do during this series. So on your way out, there will be a worksheet, a piece of paper that has some tips and some things to do, but just you don't even have to read all of that. Here's what I want you to do. If you're able, I want you to think about fasting and praying on Thursday or Friday every week during this series. Some of you may have something on Friday that you need to do on Thursday or vice versa. But what would it look like if a church said, I'm going to empty myself of me so that God might fill us, so that God might use us? Listen, if you have a dieting restriction, if you're diabetic, we know about diabetes, or you're sick or something's going on, it doesn't have to be food. We consume all kinds of things. We consume our phone, TV, social media, news, politics, shopping. All of these things distract us from God and seeing what God's doing around us in the world. This is a calling to fast and pray so that you might press into Him, so that you might know Him. You'll find some of these guidelines on the handout. But listen, friends, fasting within itself does not change anything. The work in itself does not change anything, but it is an avenue to find intimacy with God. Richard Foster puts it this way. A farmer is helpless to grow grain. All he can do is provide the right conditions for the growing of grain. He cultivates the ground. He plants the seed. He waters the plants. And then the natural forces of earth take over and up comes the grain. This is the way it is with the spiritual disciplines and like fasting. They are a way of sowing to the Spirit. By themselves, the spiritual disciplines can do nothing. They can only get us to a place where something can be done. What if we put ourselves in a place where something can be done? And we did it together as a church. United as a congregation. Because listen, I love you. You are so talented. You're doctors and lawyers and incredible moms and dads. You are teachers. You are involved in the community. We are involved in all kinds of things, but I don't want to do stuff that only we can do. Like, we can build some really cute, amazing programs and ministries here, but what if we said, God, I want more of you? I want to double down. I want you to pour out your Spirit on us so that we can see miracles, so that we can see resurrection. Not just great programs, but hope, life where there was death, orphans being called into a family so that we can go to the widows, so that we can be where you are. And I want to close with this challenge. It's right from the text. John Wayne doesn't even have to preach this. Look at this. In verses 11 through 12, hear these words. The Lord will guide you always. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. Friends, we live in a sun-scorched land. It is barren around us. And he will satisfy our needs in the middle of it. He will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the broken walls. Oh, what it would be to be called a repairer of the broken walls and a restorer of the streets with dwellings. When I was a student minister, I did a lot of things that probably should have got me fired. But there was one of them that we had this saying because of me and my interns. We even created these shirts, but we would do this thing where we would, like, we weren't very creative, so we just did the best we could, right? So we would, like, we would decorate something or we would come up with a game, and our saying was, that's good enough, right? We said that all the time. We even printed GE Ministries on this shirt. I mean, it was terrible. You wouldn't hire me as a youth director if you had a chance. But that's what we did. Is it good enough? Yeah, it's good enough. That's what we're going to do. And so we even had these things. I didn't tell the parents what it meant, you know what I mean? But we still rock this saying. And I wonder how often, I joke, but I wonder how often our church operates in that level. It's good enough. Or this is how we've always done it. Right? This is the way we've always done it. So I wonder what it would look like for 1,200 people to go on their knees and say, God, I don't want to care about those things I've been giving myself to. I want to be with a family that's looking for you in the world. What would it look like if we were to take this challenge and say, God, there's a sun-scorched land, but I want to be a well-watered garden. I want to be what you're talking about here. I want to be life, and I want to be life to others. I want to be the spring that will never run out. I want to rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the old foundations. Friends, let's be repairers and restorers. So my challenge to you in this series is fast, pray, come together. And if there was ever a time, don't come in here and just consume a sermon. Okay? I want you to come in here expecting to see God. I want you to come in here to expect His Holy Spirit to be present as you sing together, as you pray together, as you lift up one another. I want you to expect to see Christ when you come and break bread together because He promises to be there. I want you to expect God to do something amazing through you because He promises it in His Word. So let's join together in this series. Let's sacrifice. Let's lean into what He's doing. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for today and the blessings you've given us. God, I'm sorry for the times that I've done things in only my strength and not looked to you. I'm sorry for the times when I've done something and just prayed that you would bless it. God, I pray that you would take us from this altar that you've put us on and you would align us with what you're doing in the world. That you would shape us and form us, that you would convict us of the places where we have been trusting in our own strength, and you would help us to lean into you. And so God, meet us in this meal. Meet us in this time together. Remind us of who we are. Send us out again. We love you and trust you. It's in Jesus' name.